Wanted to speak this morning a little more about divine increase, increasing in spiritual things. And as we've been sharing, Jesus is coming soon. His return is sooner than we realize. And we don't want to be like what Jesus gave in that parable that about the virgins who let their oil dim. Then we don't want to be like that. We want to be stirred up, our hearts and minds focused towards him, ready to give an account to those who we come in contact with. But I wanted to make these four points, and it'll work into this message, but I wanted to share this along with letting your light shine, that there are four things that are important for a move of God, that God told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel, and we are to make disciples of all men, and we are to do what? Lay hands on the sick, cast out devils, speak with new tongues, and so forth. But there are four key things that I would say are important for a move of God. Now, you can write these down, and we'll go back and just look at some quick scriptures here. But number one, reverence. Number one, reverence. Reverence for God, reverence for his word, reverence for the things of God, you could say, reverence for his ministers and those who he's called into the fivefold ministry offices. Reverence. Number two, honor. Honor. Honoring God, honoring the people that you come in. It says honor all men. So we need to reverence. We need to have honor. Number three, we need to have hunger. Hunger and thirst after the things of God. Hunger. And number four, expectation. You expect things that God has said to come to pass. You're expecting when you come to a service, I'm expecting to fellowship with God. I'm expecting to hear from God. I'm expecting to see God move in our midst. Now, that's not just here, but you expect God to move. So those four things are important for God to move in our midst. There must be reverence. There must be honor. There must be hunger. I've got to hunger after God. As the deer panteth. Right? So there must be reverence. There must be honor. You honor the things of God. You have hunger for the things of God. You know, you can stand up and share the word of God. If the people don't reverence, what did Jesus say? He came into Nazareth. What happened? He could only do little minor things because they didn't reverence him. He said, a prophet is without honor, even in his own home country. So there has to be reverence. There has to be honor. There has to be hunger. And there has to be an expectation. What happened? That woman with the issue of blood, she did what? She reverenced what she heard. She honored it. She hungered after it. And she expected to get something. Right? So those four things are key. Especially when we talk about divine increase, we're increasing in the things of God. If you're going to increase in the things of God, there's got to be reverence. Reverence for God, reverence for people and, you know, honoring people and honoring the things of God. You've got to hunger after God and you've got to expect to receive what you're seeking after. You see. And if you're not fully there, we develop, we grow after those things. What does it say? Let's just, this is not part of our message here, but let's go over to 2 Peter chapter 1, 2 Peter chapter 1, and looking at starting in verse 3. It says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, how? Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. You've got to reverence that. Number 4, it says, whereby are given unto us what? Great and precious promises. Oh, they're great and they're precious. So you have to reverence that, right? That by these precious promises, you got to reverence that, what? It says, you might be what? Partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving what? All diligence. See, that sounds like hunger to me, doesn't it? I'm hungering after something. My hunger fuels my determination. I'm determined to get something. Right? And so it says, in giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity or love. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall not be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of God, of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is what? Is blind, cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was what? Purged from his old sins. Hallelujah. So let's say it, in order to see a move of God, we have to have reverence. Reverence for the things of God, reverence for God's people, and we have to have honor. We honor God and honor his things. We have hunger, and we do what? We expect. Now, let's just take a quick look. I just look up some scriptures here. Let's look at Psalm. This is for reverence. Psalm 89:7, and there's so many more, but we're just going to look at a few for time's sake. Psalm 89 and verse 7 says, God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. He's to be revered. Hebrews 12:9. Get over there. Hebrews 12 and verse 9. It says, furthermore, we had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. And then it goes on. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? He deserves reverence. Got to revere God and the things of God. And then verse 28 in that same chapter. Verse 28, it says, wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. So, what is this? We are to serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. So he deserves our reverence. Psalm 104. and verse 1. Psalm 104 and verse 1. This is honor. Psalm 104 and verse 1 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty." He's clothed with honor and majesty. John 5:23. Says, now let me back up. Verse 22, "For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son." Verse 23, "That all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father which hath sent him." John 5:23. Then Romans chapter 12 and verse 10. Talking about honoring God and then also honoring people. Verse 10 of chapter 12 of Romans, "Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another." So we need to have reverence for God. We need to have reverence for his word and his things, and we need to honor him. He's clothed with honor and majesty, and we're to honor one another, preferring one another. Now, let's go to Psalm 34 and verse 10. This is hunger. Psalm 34, and of course, there's so many, you can look them up. I'm going to just read a few. Psalm 34 and verse 10. And this is talking about seeking God here. It says, "The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that what? Seek the Lord shall not want any good thing." They're not going to hunger. They're not going to lack. Matthew 5:6. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6. "Blessed are they which do what? Hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." In John 6 and verse 35. John chapter 6 and verse 35. "And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." So we need to reverence God and his word. We should have a holy awe about his word. We shall honor him and his word, honor one another, preferring one another. And we should hunger and thirst after the things of God. Can you see how important that is when it comes to God moving in your midst, moving whether it's in your home, moving in a church setting? There has to be reverence for God in your home. There has to be honor for God in your home. There has to be a hunger for the things of God in your home. And expectation, let's look at Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for or expectation, expected. Faith is the substance of things expected, the evidence of things not seen. Psalm 62 and verse 5. Psalm 62 and verse 5. It says, my soul waiteth thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. See? Your expectation is from God. And one more here. Just look this up here, Romans. Yeah, I mean, we could look at this, Romans 8, verse 19. It says, for the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Here's one more, Philippians 1, verse 20. It says, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. So in order for there to be moves of God and manifestations of God evident, either in our personal life or in church settings, there must be reverence. There must be honor. There must be hunger. And there must be expectation. And you can meditate on that a little bit. Look up those words. And you can add to it. But I can tell you that when you hunger after the things of God, he will make sure that you're filled, that your thirst is quenched, that he will reveal himself more and more to you. But if you're just kind of blasé about those things and you're busy in life and just so busy that you don't have time, then, you know, I'm not saying he won't respond, but I guarantee you, if you pursue him with all of your heart, he'll respond. He will reveal himself in a greater way. Hallelujah. So, one of the things I wanted to look at, let's take a quick look at Hebrews chapter 13. I wanted to look at this. I like this particular translation of Hebrews 13. And I'm going to read from the Passion Translation, Hebrews 13, verse 5 and 6, and you can read along in whatever translation you're following along on. But starting in verse 5 of Hebrews 13, it says, don't be obsessed with money, but live content with what you have. For you always have God's presence. I like this. You always have God's presence. For hasn't he promised you, I will never leave you, never. And I will not loosen my grip on your life. So we can say with great confidence, I know the Lord is for me, and I will never be afraid of what people may do to me. So we always have God's presence, and I think I've shared here an example of what the Lord had spoken to me recently about his presence, just giving me a simple analogy of a woman who's pregnant. When a woman is pregnant or becomes pregnant, she becomes aware that now there's a life inside of her. You know, her body begins to change. She becomes aware that some changes have happened. And she becomes more aware as that baby grows. So from the moment of conception to the moment of birth, there's an ever-growing awareness, a greater awareness of a life in her. And so the Lord said, why are my people not aware of me in them? And so just the same way that a natural thing where a woman becomes aware of a life in her, we have God living in us. He lives in me, and I need to become more and more aware of who's in me. Who lives in me? I'm a new creature in Christ. It's no longer I that live, but it's Christ, his spirit, that lives in me. Christ said, I need to go away so I can send you another comforter, another helper, a standby, somebody who's in there waiting to help. So we need to be looking for that helper inside to help us in all the affairs of life. So we, you know, need to become aware. And I say that in a way that we're the body of Christ. We're here to not just have him help us navigate life, but we're here to do what? Let our light shine. Let us show forth the glory and the goodness of God. So how is that? First and foremost is we're to walk in love. Love like he loved. And so we're to love people. And one of the things is that the gifts of the Spirit are always there to reveal God to this earth. And I would dare say probably everyone in this room, whether you knew it or not, the Holy Ghost, if you're born again, the Holy Ghost has probably been speaking to you or working in and through you, thinking in you, and you didn't realize it. And as we yield more, you'll become more aware. Oh, that was him speaking to me. That was him directing me. Wow. How many of you picked up a phone and you just had a thought? I don't call somebody or do something. And then you pick up the phone, you find out, wow, I'm glad I called. Or I'm glad I did this for this person. Or I'm glad I checked up on them. I had a thought or a prompt to just call somebody. Well, you know what they call that? They call that a word of knowledge. You know, we all get spiritual. Oh, so-and-so had a word of knowledge. You probably having it every day and don't realize it. And you're ignoring it. But the more we yield, the more you recognize his voice, you recognize how he deals with you, the more you yield, the more he'll use you, the more you'll become comfortable with his presence in you. You're going to say, oh, that was God speaking to me. Now you have a choice to make. He may tell you to do something that's not comfortable to do. See, it's like a little child. You know, as you're training up a little child to be successful in life, you say, okay, do this, do this, and now you start giving them some other tasks. As they get older, and then they go, I don't want to do that. I don't like that. Well, you know what? Natural things and spiritual things are similar. You know, God will, okay, come on, let's go. Oh, that was God. And then God says, go over here and do it. I don't want to do that. I don't like that. You know, those things are similar, right? But here's the thing. We need to just become comfortable that God is working in us. He's speaking to us and not just, oh, I had a thought. Well, where did that thought come from? You see? And so we need to just become comfortable that he's in us. You know, one thing I remember years ago, Pastor Sarah and Clinton shared this one time. They said when they started their church in Hackensack, you know, Brother Hagin always used to call them this. He said, Utterbacks from Hackensack. And, you know, he used to make fun of it, you know, a joke about it. But when they started their church in their living room and dining room in their home in Hackensack, there were ministers that lived in their neighborhood that knew them. And Pastor Sarah said one time, the Holy Ghost spoke to them and said, you weren't my first choice. See, that'll humble you. When the Holy Ghost tells you, you weren't my first choice. So that tells you, you're not all it that you think you are, right? God is just looking for people that will be obedient and do what? Yield. So it's like, you know, come on, I want you to do this. I don't want to do that. And so God will say, that's okay. You go sit down over there. And I'm going to find somebody who will obey and yield. And so it's the same thing in our lives. As God speaks to us and gives us things to do, we need to do what? Yield. And so just like Pastor Sarah and Clinton said, well, God still told us we weren't his first choice, but they determined that they were going to do what? Yield, because if they didn't obey, God would have found somebody else to raise up a ministry to reach people. And he's going to do it, not just, you know, he's going to do it through those who will yield, because he's going to get his things accomplished. I heard Brother Copeland say one time, he was complaining to the Lord, why are you giving me all these things to do? I want to rest. I want to just kind of take it a little more, you know, easy. He's 84. He's going like a 20-year-old. Going at 84. You saw him on the stream. He taught for 2 hours. So I'm just saying, you know how they say, I'm just saying. We need to be busy. So what Brother Copeland was complaining to the Lord, why are you giving me all this stuff to do? And the Lord told him, he said, because there's others that won't obey, and I know you will. And that's what he told. He said the Lord was getting on his case about something, and he said, the Lord told him, I want you to get on every available voice to minister the gospel. Every type of medium and voice that you can get the word out on. So that's why a lot of times when we talk about, you know, people helping to support, you know, a company can have a vision, but it takes people to fulfill that vision. And so it's the same thing with any ministry. God will give a vision to a ministry, and the heads are going to say, we're going to do this. Thank you, God. We're going for it. We're going to do this. But it takes people to hook up with that vision to help fulfill it. You see? And so that's why in every facet of ministry, you know, whether it's evangelism, whether it's prayer, whether it's, you know, media and social media, all these things to get the word out on different voices or channels of that we can do. So anyways, as I was sharing, here's another example. When we talk about, you know, doing things and fulfilling a vision, fulfilling something that God desires, because God will put it in the heart, just like Pastor Clinton and Sarah. They had a desire to do things. God put desires in their heart. Some of those desires they didn't see fulfilled. Some of the things that they talked about with us privately, they didn't see them. They're going to be fulfilled. They're going to come to pass. And that's why I say, if God shows you something, you keep speaking it, because God desires that. This isn't about my selfish desires. This is God's desire. And he desires to do something in and through you. And so you keep speaking it. See, even the words that he spoke to Pastor Sarah in 2003 through Brother Copeland, he said, you don't have to build the house. You just have to speak. Speak these words. Watch the words that you're speaking. You don't have to build it. See? So when God gives you something, you may see the fulfillment of it, you may not. But you get credit for doing what? God revealing to you his heart and his will. See? And we do what? We release words. And we release those words of God's will. So here's an example that the Lord put in my heart. It was a couple of weeks ago. How many in here are married or were married? Well, you know, when married people get, you know, when they get married, they may, I'm not saying all do, but some married couples may have a desire to have children. Not all, but some may. And some may have a desire to have children. And so that desire, that hunger to have that, fuels their determination. So they're fueled to have children, right? Well, let me ask a question to all of those parents now that had that starry-eyed vision when they were first married. We're going to have children. And they knew nothing of what was involved. Let me ask a question. Was there a price to pay to have children? Was there a cost to have children? Was there a sacrifice on your part? So it wasn't all, woo, we're going to have kids. Oh, for joy, we're having children. Yes, that's part of it. But there's a price to pay to see that fulfilled, isn't there? Wasn't there? There was a cost on your part to see that fulfilled. And I guarantee you, there is a price and a cost to pay to see God's desires fulfilled. He sent his son and he paid the ultimate price, but then these things that he wants fulfilled in the earth, there's a price to pay on our part. Our time, our effort, our money, our sweat, all of that, the joy and the sacrifice and the tears, there's all a price to pay to serve God. And if you think there isn't, come and walk with me. There's a price to pay. Just like there's a price to pay and a sacrifice in having children. There's joys, there's tears, there's sacrifice. And the same thing with serving God. there's a price to pay. And so, you know, that's not something that we just share that we say, oh, I'm not going to serve God because of that. No, I mean, there's a sacrifice. And so, this price to serve God, he gave his life. He shed his blood. It costs us to reach people. It costs us to reach people. Cost your time and your effort. So, we're in this season of his return, and it's time more and more than ever to reach people with his love. And one of the things that we put on our wall recently was that the focus, or you could say the vision of this ministry, reach, teach, and send. Reaching people, teaching people, and sending people. That's the focus of this ministry. And that is all encapsulated. You can look at Matthew 28, the Great Commission. Go into all the world, reaching people, teaching people, making disciples of all men. And then sending people, sending out people. So this revelation of our mission is what? To reach people, to teach them, to send. Let our light shine. So this fuels our determination. My love and hunger for God. So you're talking about our reverence for God, honoring God, and our hunger for God. That love and that hunger for God fuels my determination to reach people, to teach people. So that should fuel our determination. Let's take a quick look here, 2 Timothy chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2, and verses 3 through 4, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. I'll read it in the King James, and then I'll read from another translation. It says, Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Didn't know you're a soldier. It says, No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. It didn't say that we're not to be involved in the affairs of life. It says don't be entangled in them such that you can't be a part of the mission of the church. The New American Standard, it says, suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. So what does that mean? That means when I go to work, I'm not so caught up that I ignore who I'm working with. I'm a light. I'm to do what? I should let my light shine. It didn't say I don't go to work. If you don't work, you're not going to eat. But it does mean that I'm not so caught up in life that I'm not aware of who I am. I'm not aware of who's in me. I'm not aware of the promptings and nudges of the Holy Ghost to do what? Minister to people, love people, be aware, be observant. Taking authority of the climate in your workplace. Using the name of Jesus, praying in the Holy Ghost, just being a light. That's what we're talking about. And don't forget who you are. You're a new creature in Christ. You're a light. You're the body of Christ. It's no longer you that live, but Christ that lives in you. And we need to remind ourselves, and really I'm going over this, because we need to let our light shine. Why? Because Jesus is coming soon. And I remember this Pastor Clinton was teaching on the Revelation, the book of Revelation, and he was just talking and sharing something, and I remember his example. He said, we think it's going to take another 100 years to reach the world. He said, not so. He said, God is pulling the string on the bag. He said, it's going to be quick. When you look at all that's going on, something can go viral in 24 hours. Just on social media. Boom! And every eye will see and every person will behold his coming. How are they going to do that? Oh, these little things right here. It won't take another 100 years. It's going to be quick. So we need to be about his purposes. We need to remember who we are in Christ and look and walk in the love of God. Forget about all my whatever's going on with me. Reach out in love. Reach out in the power of God. Reverence him, honor him, hunger after him, and expect him to move through you. When you go somewhere into the grocery store, you go to Walmart, ShopRite, Stop, wherever you're going, you expect the power of God's with me. And I expect him to work through me as I'm standing in line. Don't stand there and go, when they going to get through here? I've been on this line for too long. Let the Holy Ghost, let the peace of God work in you. You know, if you're that upset, maybe he didn't tell you to go to the store at that time. Maybe he didn't tell you to get in the line there or go to that gas station or that store. Maybe you weren't listening. You see what I'm talking about? You're getting upset. Maybe look at it as an opportunity and say, God, did I miss something? Is there something I need to do? Is there someone I need to cross paths with? Is there someone? And he may tell you, you know what? I didn't tell you to go to the store now, but since you're here, since you're here, this person over here needs some help. That's all we're saying. Let the love of God be rise up in you, right? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So really, this is what we're sharing. And let me just read this. This is and we'll close with this. I'm going to read this. 1 Thessalonians, you can turn over there just in the King James, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. First Thessalonians chapter 5, starting in verse 1. And it talks about the times and the seasons. And it says, it goes on and it says, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. So you can read along, but I'm going to read this in the Passion Translation. Starting in verse 1, it says, now, beloved brothers and sisters, concerning the question of God's precise times and specific seasons, you don't need me to write anything to you, for you already know quite well that the day of the Lord will come unexpectedly and as a complete surprise. For while some are saying, finally we have peace and security, sudden destruction will arrive at their doorstep like labor pains seizing a pregnant woman and with no chance of escape. But you, beloved brothers and sisters, are not living in the dark, allowing that day to creep up on you like a thief coming to steal. For you are all children of the light. See, you're children of the light and children of the day. We don't belong to the night nor to darkness. Now listen to this. This is why we must not fall asleep as the rest do. I like the way this is going to read here in the Passion. It says, but keep wide awake and clear-headed. We need to be wide awake and clear-headed. For those who are asleep, sleep the night away, and drunkards get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, we must stay alert and clear-headed. Now listen to this. By placing the breastplate of faith and love over our hearts and the help and the helmet of the hope of salvation over our thoughts. How do we stay alert and clear-headed? It says by placing the breastplate of faith and love over our hearts. When you let stuff get into your thoughts, when you let stuff get down into your heart, you become darkened and you're not clear-headed. You're caught up with the stuff going on in the earth. But by walking in faith and letting the love of God in my heart, I remain clear-headed. And I remain a light that God can use. You see, I'm not in the dark. I'm a child of the light. I'm a child of love, you see. Glory to God. And it says, for God has not destined us for wrath, this is verse 9, but to possess salvation through our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One. He gave his life for us so that we may share in resurrection life. In union with him, whether we're awake or asleep, whether I live or die, I'm destined to have resurrection life in union with him, you see. Because of this, encourage the hearts of your fellow believers and support one another just as you have already been doing. Dear brothers and sisters, make sure that you show your deep appreciation for those who cherish you and diligently work as ministers among you. For they are your leaders who care for you, teach you, and stand before the Lord on your behalf. They value you with great love because of their service to you. Let peace reign among yourselves. I'll read a few more verses. We appeal to you, dear brothers and sisters, to instruct those who are not in their place of battle. Be skilled at gently encouraging those who feel themselves inadequate. Be faithful to stand your ground. Help the weak to stand again. Be quick to demonstrate patience with everyone. Resist revenge. And make sure that no one pays back evil in the place of evil, but always pursue doing what is beautiful to one another and to all unbelievers. Let your joy be a continual feast. Make your life a prayer. And in the midst of everything, be always giving thanks, for this is God's perfect plan for you in Christ Jesus. And then it goes on, never restrain or put out the fire of the Holy Spirit. Don't be one who scorns prophecies. And it goes on. But what caught my attention with this was that when it said up here, but since, in verse 8, but since we belong to the day, we must stay alert and clear-headed by placing the breastplate of faith and love over our hearts. Hallelujah. So you can see, in order for us to be a light, when it says you're a candle set upon a, a hill. And it's not to have a bushel put over the top of it. You're to let your light shine. But that light can be dimmed by walking in doubt and unbelief and walking not in love. So how do we walk in love? We're to walk in love. We're to reverence God, reverence the things of God, reverence his word, honor him, honor all men. We're to hunger after the things of God. And we're to expect him to do what? Move through me. Him to work through me to be a light. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Just wanted to share those things and just meditate upon them. Think about them. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for reminding us of who we are in Christ. Thank you for reminding us from your word that we are a light and we are to make a difference. We are the body of Christ here in this earth. In Jesus' name, amen.